I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, December 8th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Before the pandemic, airline rewards credit cards offered sizable perks and bonuses to big-spending consumers. But travel bans and social distancing have made those perks less appealing, and in some cases, unusable.
And so this is a challenge for the airlines and the issuers, that they're trying to keep these people engaged a good 9 months into a pandemic when leisurely travel for most of the population still seems a ways off.
So how are credit card companies hoping to convince grounded travelers not to cancel? Our reporter Anna Maria Andriotis has been keeping tabs on it, and she'll be here with all the details after the break.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Acoustic, the marketing cloud that helps marketers get back to thinking bigger. Acoustic helps you bring humanity back to marketing, connecting you with customers in truly meaningful ways, ways that make people feel something. Trusted by trusted brands, learn more about Acoustic at acoustic.com.
Those hefty annual fees on travel rewards credit cards mean billions of dollars for banks and airlines. But nearly a year into the pandemic, consumers who have been grounded as a result of the travel bans are left to wonder if the money for those fees, sometimes in the hundreds of dollars, could have been put to better use. Now some credit card companies are working to convince customers not to cancel. Anna Maria Andriotis covers the credit card industry for the Wall Street Journal, and she's here to discuss it. Anna Maria, thanks for being here.
Great to be speaking with you.
So to start off, can you give us a sense of how important these travel rewards cards are for banks and airlines' bottom lines?
Airline credit cards are among the most coveted rewards cards out there, and that's been the case for over a decade, but certainly that demand from consumers for these cards intensified during the last 10 years or so. Now, consumers want them because, you know, it's aspirational, the idea that you can use these cards to get flight upgrades, free seats on flights, et cetera, access to airport lounges. The banks like them in part because travel tends to attract a group of consumers that is well off, that spends a lot, and to whom banks want to sell other services to as well. And for the airlines, it really is a critical tool for them that essentially allows them to be profitable. So for a long time, it's been looked at, these cards have been looked at as a type of a product that has benefited a variety of parties. But those benefits aren't really as clear cut right now, given that we're now into this pandemic a good 9 months or so, at least in the U.S.
So what are the card issuers doing to try to sweeten the benefits of having a travel rewards card when the customer isn't traveling?
For the issuer, the goal is essentially you want to keep this cardholder. You don't want to see a significant increase in cancellations. So you want to keep them. And so essentially, if you can keep them, even if that means downgrading their card to a cheaper one, that's considered on some levels to still be a kind of win for the issuer. At the same time, the issuers are dealing with the challenge of incentivizing people who have these airline cards to continue spending with them. So overall credit card usage has been down in the U.S. since the pandemic began. However, one of the hardest hit categories of spending has been travel purchases. So with American Express cards, for example, travel and entertainment purchases were down 69% in the third quarter compared to a year prior. On Visa cards, they were down about the same amount during the same period, about 70%. So travel spending is way down. These cards are geared towards travel spending and the benefits associated with travel. So the issuers have basically, and the airlines, both parties here have essentially been rolling out various incentives to keep people, to keep these cardholders engaged with these cards to continue spending. Like everybody pretty much realizes that, okay, the travel spending being done on these cards in the past That's not realistic to expect that happening right now. So instead, they've been doing things since the start of the pandemic, like rolling out extra points per dollar spent on groceries, maybe even on other services like streaming services or restaurants, if it's, you know, to sort of cater to people who are placing delivery orders.
And there's a lot of competition out there among credit card companies for consumers' money.
So they've basically been tinkering with the rewards offerings to make them more applicable. Like prior to the pandemic, the main rewards offerings on these cards were geared around the purchases that you made that were travel oriented, as well as the purchases that you made at restaurants. That's not realistic right now for most people. You've had cases where people are switching from using these cards to using cashback cards, right? It's very clean cut. I can get 1 or 2% back on every purchase made, regardless of the category. That seems very consumer friendly in this environment right now and very usable. Others have been switching to debit cards. Spending on debit cards is up significantly since the pandemic began. So basically, what the issuers and the airlines need to do and have been working on is trying to basically figure out a way to keep the existing cardholders engaged with their cards, keep that card top of wallet, keep them spending on that card, because there is a good amount of fee revenue that both banks and airlines collect when people spend on their airline cards.
Okay, let's step back for just a moment and talk about credit more generally. How have consumer spending habits changed during the pandemic, especially related to credit?
So in general, people have moved away from credit cards during the pandemic. So as an example, if we take Visa, which is the largest U.S. card network, credit card spending volume was down about 9% during its last quarter, and that decline of 9% was from a year prior. Well, that 9% decline for credit cards, at the same time, debit card volume was up 20%. During the same period. Similar trend was playing out as well during the prior quarter, so during the second quarter of this calendar year. So what does this mean? I mean, so, okay, we know there's been a pullback in overall spending on credit cards. And the reason why this is happening varies. On one level, a big thing contributing towards the pullback is consumer uncertainty about the economy. There's a lot of people out there who don't want to find themselves in a situation where if they lose their jobs, they have a credit card balance that they can't pay back. And then they're dealing with late fees, interest charges, etc. Similarly, with the enhanced unemployment benefits that were being distributed up until the summer, well, that was an extra $600 a week or so for many households. Again, going into their bank accounts, using the debit card was a sort of more realistic vehicle for making purchases than a credit card. Overall, credit card balances have fallen this year. So in general, we've seen a shift away from credit towards debit, but in the airline sector, while the shift has occurred in general, the travel sector is the most challenged, because if it's a credit card that is a points-based credit card that isn't about travel, that might seem more realistic for people right now, or a credit card that allows redeeming for travel but also redeeming for other things, be it gift cards that you can put towards home improvement or other services that you can use right now. But an airline co-branded card where the majority of the rewards that you can redeem would be tied to an airport or a plane is just not realistic for many people.
Yeah, and for cardholders who are struggling financially, the annual fee is a lot of money to spend when they're not using the card as much as they did in years past. Is there any wiggle room here for the person to get on the phone and ask the credit card company if they'll drop or maybe reduce the annual fee, or, you know, find some other way to make it more worthwhile for them to keep the card?
There is some room. So depending on the issuer and sometimes depending on the customer, there have certainly been some success stories with this. So one customer who I spoke with called her issuer and basically said, look, I'm not really using this card right now. There's really no incentive for me to use this airline travel card. And so she was given a $200 statement credit. It didn't fully cover her annual fee, but it helped to offset offset it by a good amount. So this is certainly a conversation that's happening between cardholders and their banks. But not everybody wants to shut down these cards, right? And they and everybody, at least from the cardholders who we spoke to for this story, are many of them are looking forward to returning to travel, but nobody knows how soon it's going to be. And they don't see why they should be paying full price, especially for the more premium, more expensive airline cards. So they're basically looking for options here that would either result in a discount or fully covering the annual fee or downgrading to a cheaper version. But really pulling back from all of this, what's going on here is that, look, these weren't conversations that were happening before the pandemic. Spending has changed dramatically. And as the pandemic goes on, the appeal of these cards goes away for more and more people. And so this is a challenge for the airlines and the issuers that they're trying to keep these people engaged a good 9 months into a pandemic when leisurely travel for most of the population still seems a ways off.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis. Anna Maria, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.